This episode of the See You Next Summer podcast is brought to you by Zencastr. We love the quality of Zencastr. We mostly use it about the high quality of the audio recordings, and it will always help us to sound our best. We have used Zencastr for more than 2 years. We love it. So right now, this episode is brought to you by them. We have an offer right now. Go to Zencastr.com/pricing and use our code CUSEEYOU, and you will get 30% off of your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. We want you to have the same experiences that we do for all of your podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story, any kind of podcast, from cooking, movies, TV shows. We highly recommend you. So please go to Zencastr.com/pricing. Use our code CUSEEYOU, and you'll get 30% off of any Zencastr pay plan. Dun, 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 dun. Welcome to the See You Next Time podcast. I'm Raul Rodriguez, and here's with me the general saw to my Orsa, Billy Palahan.
It's very interesting that you would tell me that I am General Zod, because we both have the same, like, our facial hair grows the same way, but also kneel before Zod.
Is this Planet Houston?
Planet Houston.
Oh my god. Yes, today we're doing an interesting double feature.
It's the same movie, but it's not.
Yeah, we're doing the two Superman cuts. Superman 2, the Lester and the Donner cut.
Yes, the theatrical version and the Richard Donner cut. Mm-hmm. So just for context, back when they were making Superman 2, originally they filmed the first film and the second one back to back. But during production on the second movie, they managed to get about 3/4 of it done. And the Salklands, who are the producers, they had a falling out with Richard Donner because he was spending a lot of time working on the sequel. And they wanted, hey, we need the first movie done, among other things. And it was just a very tense relationship. And it was just, they just did not get along. And then they fired him. Because for various reasons, reports vary. But either way, he was kicked off of Superman 2. And then they hired English director Richard Lester, who's mostly known for doing comedies. So that's why there's certain things in the theatrical cut that are more comedic. And then Richard Donner, like, he held no ill will towards Richard Lester because he was like, he was just hired to do the job. But he hates the Salklands, or he hated the Salklands. And it made a lot of people on the crew, most famously Gene Hackman, leave the movie and stuff. So everything with Gene Hackman, that was all shot with Richard Donner.
Oh, I didn't know this tea. Uh-huh.
And then years later, decades later, there was a letter campaign, because this was before the internet, that Richard Donner's version of Superman was locked away somewhere, like in a vault. And so people wrote letters to Warner Brothers for decades saying, hey, can we see Richard Donner's version of this movie?
It's like poetry, it rhymes.
It is. And then in 2006, they managed to cobble together the Richard Donner cut. They managed to... There was some stuff they weren't able to film. Most famously, the ending with the Arctic Police, which I'm glad they did not film. Yeah, because it was going to be that Zod gets arrested by the Arctic Police. It was really stupid. It was the 70s, or early 80s.
That is stupid, uh-huh.
So there are some sequences, like in the beginning of the movie, where you feel like, why is that so choppy and mismatched? That's because they had to pull from behind the scenes, archive audio and footage, and just, they cobbled it together for pretty much what Richard Donner envisioned. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're talking about both the theatrical cut, what was released, and then Richard Donner's version. And both versions, right off the bat, pretty good.
They're very good.
In some ways, it's better than the first movie.
Yes, but both of them are different in very interesting ways. Even though there's very little choices, like very little different scenes or adding lines, I was like, it makes it a completely different vision, but it's still the same story. But I have problems with the ending, though, of the Donner Cut.
Yeah, generally it's the same. It's generally the same story. So really, it's going to be interesting how we do this. We'll just go over the story and then compare.
Yeah, I think that's the best
way. What happens in both versions, and then basically see.
Yeah, like for example,
which ones we prefer.
I like we're going to talk about the beginning right now. The beginning in the Donner Cut is way better because I did not like this whole recap of the first movie in the Lester Cut. But it has no Marlon Brando voice. It doesn't have Marlon Brando's voice, and we see the trial.
Yeah, that was another thing about the production of this movie. Marlon Brando sued the studio because he felt like he was not getting, or he didn't get the money that he was owed for getting, I think, 11.7% of the box office. On top of his already outrageous paycheck. He was a big diva.
So that's why he was cut from the second movie. So the
Scorpions were just
movie.
Like, okay, screw you. We're going to cut every scene that you're in the second movie and replace you with the actress that played Lara, Susanna York. So that's why she's in the theatrical version.
Wow. I imagine it has to be about money, but I was like, I didn't know it was that reason, okay?
I mean, it was a lot of money. 11% of a box office is huge.
Mm-hmm, that's a lot.
For context, Harrison Ford only got 2% of the box office for Force Awakens.
And I remember, like, the highest recently, wasn't Robert Downey Jr. got, like, 4 or 5% or something from Infinity War or Endgame?
Either way, yeah. It's a ridiculous amount of money.
11, that's a lot. Like, specifically, what we know that technically theaters only keep, like, 40%. Or 50%, I'm like, that's ridiculous. And so, in the theatrical cut, I do like the credit sequence that is recapping the first movie. That every time that we see the names, it was like, recapping differences on the movies. It reminded me a lot of Spider-Man 2, when they do that thing of recapping the movie, but in comics. And then we open the movie, and that's the thing. This is when I noticed a big difference also right here, too. In the theatrical cut, we have the Paris sequence, and in the Donner cut, doesn't exist.
Yeah, that was all reshot.
This was all reshot, yeah.
You can tell what was reshot as well, based on what the actors look like. So, yeah, in the beginning of the Richard Lester version, we get Zod's attempted coup, and then a completely different courtroom scene that does not match up well with the first movie. So, continuity-wise,
we know Brando.
With no Brando, mm-hmm. And just the fact that it's so rushed together, and there's various bits of, like, ADR stuff, you know, like when Zod, Ursa, and Nan are put in the Phantom Zone, and he's just like, I'll have my revenge! It's clearly ADR. Donner's version builds up, or it's pretty much the same from the first movie, but it builds upon that because it shows that while they're in the Phantom Zone, we also saw the baby shuttle pass by them.
I like that detail.
As well.
I like that detail.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, in the Lester version, there's a whole sequence in Paris where Lois Lane is there because there's a whole terrorist situation and they have somehow acquired a hydrogen bomb and are going to blow up the Eiffel Tower. One of the terrorists played by Uncle Vernon from Harry
Richard
Potter.
Griffiths. Yeah. I was like, what? I even told Jimmy, I told Billy Mee, I was like, wait. Is that Vernon Dursley? He was like, damn. And I immediately told Billy, I was like, that makes sense of why he can give a Dudley like 37 gifts. 36, 37! Also, I do not like that Lois is doing the I'm American, I let me go and to go to the Eiffel Tower. I know it was the 70s, but still.
I do like how she tricked the officer, though,
I do like the dictionary
because of the language barrier.
And then she goes, and I love that Lois is, I do like this detail though, that Lois is trapped in the bottom of the elevator between the two metals, and it feels like she's doing the Superman pose. I was like, okay, I like that thing a lot, but also how she's like, no, I'm about to die, and then Superman arrives, and I was like, damn you, that smile, that Christopher Reeve smile, so beautiful. And it was like, and Superman was like, I believe this is your floor. Thank God.
Well, there's a joke later on in the movie that I actually really love. Evolving God.
And then I'm gonna make this joke too, because this also happened in Superman 1 and I didn't do this. Superman's choice, specifically when we get to Superman Returns, is just to pollute space. Just throw missiles and everything to space. Doomsday.
We don't really count Superman Returns in that. I don't know. The continuity in Superman Returns is weird.
When we get there. That was important. Oh, and even Henry Cavill did this too. Throwing everything at space. I'm like, you just want to pollute more, right?
Where else are they going to put it?
That is true, though.
I mean, shit. And then also the opening of 2 does not have the Paris sequence. It is the final flight with the missiles where Superman takes one of the missiles, throws it into space, and then it explodes and the shockwaves freeze Zod, Ursa, and Non from the Phantom Zone. And then we get a ridiculous shot of Zod going free into the camera.
Yes.
As they sort of very slowly just float towards the moon.
But this is better, though. I do like this decision more in the Donner Cut, because in the Lester Cut, they're like, just because Superman throw the bomb.
No, he throws the elevator.
He throws the elevator, and then because it blew away, the Phantom was right there. I'm like, this is a weird retconning already.
They put a hydrogen bomb on an elevator, and yeah. He takes the whole elevator and just throws it, and then it's the aftershock of the hydrogen bomb that frees them. We don't get no trippy, psychedelic, like, whoa! So, the Donner Cut already, it has so much better continuity.
Yes.
Like, it feels like the second part of this story, and this connective tissue is there.
And also because, like you said in last week, that technically both movies were shot at the same time. And so technically, this is like, it feels like Superman 1 was the first half of the movie. Now we're watching the second act, like the second and third act. So makes much more sense in the Donner Cut. But I also like that Lois goes back in the Lester Cut in the Daily Planet. She's showing a Gucci bag. And then she opens it, and there's oranges.
Yeah, they elaborate on this whole orange joke that she's trying to be healthy and whatnot by drinking freshly squeezed orange juice. She does the thing where she wastes like 5 oranges just for the
and
little
bit. And it's a running joke in the Lester Cut.
Yeah, the whole orange juice. Lester Cut, it's more comedic.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a more penchant for comedy, because that was what he was known for. I think they went a little overboard in certain places.
True.
Like in the Donner Cut, though, Lois Lane figures out that Clark Kent is Superman.
I like this one, this version too.
I love how she figures it out. She's looking at a picture of Superman, and then she's like, you know, oh, why is Clark always late? And then she's like, oh, wait a minute. It's when he crosses his arms, and then she sees the picture of Superman, and then is like, huh, and then draws the little glasses, the hat. Is basically prodding him in Perry's office, like, hey, you get the picture? I get it. And then he's like, oh, Lois, you're hallucinating, active imagination. And then she's just like, okay, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to jump out the window.
I like this too, though. But also, Clark, I'm like, Superman, I know that you're the fastest man alive. I was like, but what if...
No, the Flash is the fastest man alive.
But what if Clark's there? I like this, though, but at the same time, Lois is doing the Bella thing, and Bella was doing the Lois thing of going suicidal to get rescued by a man.
Well, it's because she was able to risk her life. She does it also in the Lester Cut. It's both of them are effective. The Lester Cut, it happens later in the movie
when they're
at Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls is actually much more expanded on in the theatrical version.
I was going to say that's the other difference that I noticed, because in the...
Oh, there's a lot more differences, but that's just one of them.
In the Donner Cut, I couldn't go back because I didn't have time, but technically, did Perry send them to Niagara Falls to investigate something about the hotel?
Perry White still sends them to Niagara Falls in both cuts to investigate... Hold on, let me look.
Felt weird because according to what I heard from Perry saying, I was like, maybe because they were children workers inside of the hotel, and they were posing as a newlywed couple, and I'm like, wait, what? And then after this, but I do like how Lois arrives, lands in the fruit stand.
Yeah, she lands in the fruit stand, and then we also see she looks up to see Clark on the top because he's super sped all the way up there. But he's still super sped down there to save her by somehow. First of all, the heat vision just wouldn't reflect on his glasses.
But that Clark on the window looks very blurry, and that's the thing that Donner said at the beginning, that some of the footage was from test screenings, that it was not remastered or reshot.
Yeah, but also I have a problem because wouldn't everybody just see that Clark Kent is just using heat vision?
Yeah, that's a big plot I was going to say about that.
I think that the scene where Lois risks her life is done much better in the theatrical cut, where she throws herself in the Niagara River. Mm-hmm. But he uses his powers when there's nobody around.
Yeah, and there was nobody around in Niagara Falls.
In the Donner cut, he's in the middle of a busy city square.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should have seen him. Or when he's using his super breath to like levitate her down and everything. I guess they were all just like focused on Lois, but you could make that argument. But you can't say that there isn't somebody from across the street that's seeing that.
Even the fruit vendor will have noticed that too.
For sure. That poor fruit.
My fruit! Instead of my cabbages. And then after this, both versions, they only have one difference of the jokes is when Lex Luthor is in jail. That I was like, oh, the greatest criminal mind. And I'm right here. And then I was like, no treasure, no glory. And the girls are like, yeah, life sentence plus 25, Luthor, get to work. And then he's like, every man has a vulnerable point. No one can track him. He always goes north. Well, Mr. Luthor. Fucking the Otis. Mr. Luthor.
Otis.
Like he says, Mr.
He's just like, yes, but Otis, why does he go north? To ski? You're an idiot. And then in the Donner cut, there's an added joke where he's just like, you tell this guy's a bedwetter. And he's like, he wants you to know he's a bedwetter. And it's the guy. Also, because it's in such high definition, you can very clearly see Gene Hackman's bald cap.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. It's
you
like,
noticed that in the theatrical cut.
It's like Cesar Romero's mustache in the Batman, the Adam West TV show. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Oh, DC, you have promises way before.
You could make an argument it's the time period, but also, come on, guys. It's because they refused to shave hair off of their body. I mean, both instances, yeah. Batman and the Joker, archenemies of the two greatest DC heroes, Batman and Superman. Both did it for very different reasons. Also, while this is happening, Zod, Ursa, and Nan, they land on the moon, and then they very brutally kill some astronauts.
But I do like how...
And they're represented the same way, mm-hmm. except how it's introduced.
Yeah, because...
That's really the only difference.
It's the only difference of how they technically they land there between both, because it's almost the same scene.
But it's from Houston's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the Donner cut, we see the room and how it's introduced. Like, oh, okay, it's just regular day Houston. In theatrical cut, it just immediately cuts to...
Just jumps immediately to it.
To the guys in space, where then they see Ursa and then...
Ursa grabs one of the astronauts from the NASA symbol and I was like, oh, you worship this. And they kiss him like a football. And I love that Sarah's like, what fragile life form is this? And I also love that both of them, they kick the astronaut like a football, just boom, and grabs him by the cord.
I do like that they show, it really illustrates the point that they really show no remorse.
I do like that detail too. And then I was like, I tore those metal fibers like paper. And then Sarah's like, when we go closer to an atmosphere that has only one sun, our density is more heavier. They come from a place called Houston. We'll go there to rule.
So I was like, yeah, the great Terrence Stamp. His delivery of everything with Zod is great. It's also unintentionally funny.
Hmm?
And then Ursa is very much like the British. She's got short hair, pale, and is the second in command. And then there's Nan, who they established does not talk.
No.
I actually got to meet both Ursa and Nan.
Nice.
And they're very nice people. And the guy that played Nan, Jack O'Halloran, big dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, I played him like kind of like an infant. you know, mm-hmm. that's just playing with his toys.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely get that vibe. And he also has a weird haircut where it's like gelled but parted in the middle. It's strange, but they're aliens. So, of course, they can pull off the weird black open robes like General Zod just showing his chest hair.
Moon is showing more chest hair than Terrence Stamp. And then Orsa, the way that she has her legs open, but they're not technically open. Like her pants.
I like the little They're touches, like how Zod always has his arms behind mm-hmm. him, you know, like a general, and he's very much mm-hmm. cold and calculating, but all that stuff. When they land on Earth, it's the same, and the fact that Zod walks on water.
I like that, though. I do like that.
This density in the theatrical cut, we see them destroy this small town. We see it in full, but we also see that they levitate people.
Mm-hmm. That was a weird choice.
Like fingers. I'm glad in the Donner version we don't really see that.
The literal of that, when Ursa destroys the arm of one of the guys, I do like that decision though, because it felt like it was dragging when I was watching that in the theatrical cut.
Also, the sheriff that pulls them over, I remember him in the first two Roger Moore James Bond films. He's that kooky sheriff, and I thought that was kind of like they pull a shotgun on them and Zod just uses his heat vision and just accidentally shoots the gun at himself, but of course does nothing. He's just like, huh. Just how they interact, they feel very alien.
And I also like I love the thing of how Lex Luthor escapes, that he uses a projector when a guard is gonna check on the jail cells. But I know it was the 70s, but I don't like that he was not that fat. Otis was not that fat. Just because he couldn't.
They go a little overboard with Luthor in the comedy.
Yeah,
sometimes.
I was like, no. Poor Otis. But yeah, they missed my Testmacher goes to free Lex. They leave Otis behind. I like the difference in the Donner cut. Like, Miss Luthor feels a little bad. He's always just seeing like the focus of him getting arrested with the guards. In the Lester cut, you don't see that.
I love that. In I think it's the Donner version when Miss Testmacher is just like, "Where are we going? Why are we doing this?" And then Luthor just goes, "Miss Testmacher, is this a philosophy seminar?"
Yeah, that was in the Donner cut. In the Lester cut, just say, "North, Miss Testmacher, go fly."
We go north, Miss Testmacher. Or no, nobody can yell Miss Testmacher like Gene Hackman. Like in the first movie where he's just like, Miss Testmacher! It's corny, but in the best possible way. Now,
and then we go to the big difference, the Niagara Falls.
First of all, dumbest kid alive.
I hate that kid.
That kid is a dumbass, but also the parents, worst parents of all time. Up there for sure, because first when the kid is, you know, he's fucking around on the railing, like
mm-hmm.
doing that thing, he's at least on the right side, but then the mom is just like, what did I tell you, you're embarrassing me, and then hits him with the purse.
Yes,
what is up with Superman, these two Superman movies, and parents beating their children? It happened in the first movie too.
It was the 70s.
Yeah, you wonder why they're so effed up. And then when Clark is there, I do like when Lois is just taking a picture of the food stand and Clark is just like, you're at one of the greatest wonders of the world and all you can think about is food. And I just went,
and a hot dog.
And a hot dog. And then mm-hmm. She's just like, well, you can't see because your glasses are all foggy. And then, oh, she takes off the glasses. And then once again, she's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
Clark Kent might be Superman. Now, this is the second time in the Donner cut where she thinks about that. And I like that because it's that instinct that she has as a reporter where it's nagging her, like, was I right? Was I onto something? In the theatrical cut, it still works, but it's just introduced later on in the movie. At least before, it was like, okay, she's had this suspicion already, but now it's just growing in the Donner cut.
Yeah, and then we see that Clark goes to get the hot dog, but then the kid falls, and then in both cuts...
When he's just like, hey, mom, look at me! And the mom and dad are just looking at a map, and she's just like, oh, yeah, no, that's nice, sweetie, whatever. and just completely ignored
it. But I love that when he gets rescued, there's a big difference between both cuts. It was like, yeah, Superman, you did it, says Margot Kidder in both cuts. But then there's this old lady that in the Lester cut, I was like, oh my God, he's such a good boy. But then in the Donner cut, oh my God, he's so great because he's Jewish.
I thought that was weird.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
I'm like, okay.
Wait, so see, in this canon, Superman is Jewish?
Yeah, but then the biggest difference is when Clark Kent reveals that he's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And it is done a million times better in the Donner cut.
Yes, but we had to establish the one that happened in Niagara Falls.
So after the whole saving scene, it's... Well, first of all, Superman just yeets out of there, doesn't even acknowledge Lois. And then she just looks over to see, oh yeah, no, there's Clark. Or where's Clark? And then it shows her jumping into the Niagara Falls River. And then he saves her. And then that's when... So at least there's a reason why there's a fire. Because they were like, why is there a fire in the middle of July? In the love suite, which is basically Austin Powers' penthouse.
Yes!
And then in the theatrical cut, he trips over this cheap-looking rug polar bear that's like pink.
Yes!
He looks like Booster from Jingle All the Way.
Oh my God.
If he gets skinned. And then he falls into the fire. And then Lois is like, oh my God. Of course, being Superman, mm-hmm. it doesn't affect him.
Yeah.
And then that's when she's like, oh, you're Superman. And then he stands up straight and does all that, reveals. And it still works.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Donner cut, what happens?
They're getting ready for go to a dinner.
They're getting ready to go to a dinner. And Lois is just in a bath towel, so yay. And she just goes, you know, you are Superman. Or you could use a little bit more confidence, Clark. You slouch a little bit. You wear a bow tie like it's a... I forget what the joke was, but it was pretty good. She's roasting him, essentially. And she's implying heavily, like, hey, I know you're Superman, dummy. And he's just like, we went over this. And then she goes, yes. And she points out her logic. She goes, how is it whenever I'm around, mm-hmm. Superman is always there? And when Superman is here, how come you're not around? Clark disappears. He could be anywhere in the world right now. How did he save that kid? And then she went, I risked my life. But let's see if we can risk yours. And she pulls out a gun. And then is about... And then... quote unquote, shoots Clark, and immediately he's like, you know, Lois, Lois, and then just bolts straight up. And then she goes, it is you. And he goes, you know, he takes off the glasses and goes, yeah, it was me. You know, if you were wrong, Clark Kent would have been killed. I also like the...
Does we should rule the voice?
Continuity error, the continuity yes. error of the hair as well. You can tell they were very clearly shot at different times. And then he's like, you know, if you were wrong, Clark Kent would have been killed. And then she goes, with a blank?
Yes.
Gotcha.
That's a good reveal.
And that is more in character for Lois Lane, that she figures it out.
By being a reporter, by being smart, instead of just jumping the gun like in Niagara Falls.
Literally jumping the gun. But she literally jumps the gun in the Donner cut.
Mm-hmm. And this is a very, I love this scene more though. And then we get into the biggest, another biggest difference is when Lex Luthor gets to the Fortress of Solitude. But in the Lester cut, is the mom giving the exposition about Zod or Zod none?
Yeah, everything with the Fortress of Solitude, like learning about Superman and stuff, which oddly they do again in Superman Returns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
And
they
then,
use all Marlon Brando
footage. Yeah, the archive footage. But Marlon Brando is only in the Donner cut.
Mm-hmm.
And they do the same thing. They reach the... also, they're ridiculous outfits. But they reach the fortress, and then they trigger one of Jor-El's recordings explaining Ursa, Non, and Zod, their insurrection and everything. And then Lex is like, three evil, superpowered Kryptonians that are just as powerful as him. I could use
this. It with no guide.
Mm-hmm. And then...
And I also love that I love when in both versions, I love this little joke though, when it sounds like, and yes, and because we have no death penalty in Krypton, so consider it. Look how Lex is like,
He has a lot of good, like, quick jokes, but they add so much.
And also, I love that Miss Tessmacher in the Donner Cut, she needs to pee and she farts a toilet and you hear the toilet.
So you would think that would be, you'd think that'd be in the Lester Cut.
Yes!
But it's not. And then, what happens after this? Is this where, oh yeah, this is where he, takes.
This is when we get after,
Oh yeah, and I also personally like Jor-El explaining everything because of the whole continuity.
It's way better. A continuity makes better. Nothing against the actress of the mom.
But also, it's Marlon Brando.
It's Marlon Brando, yeah. I mean, like,
Why would you cut Marlon Brando? He's considered one of the greatest actors of all time.
Stella! And his voice, my son.
No, but he is in he is in one of my favorite movies of all time, which is On the Waterfront. I mentioned it before during the Exorcist review, but because somebody else from that movie was in there, but I think that's Marlon Brando's best performance.
Nice.
Easily. Much better than The Godfather. And that's saying something.
And then we go into the next scene that is different in both cuts. We already talked about it, that we see Saad, Orsa, and Nan attack some cops, and then we see this whole attack in the town when Orsa destroys that guy's arm. They do this levitation thing, but in the Donner Cut, like, everything that is deleted, except when they meet the cops and they grab the gun. And then we go immediately to the reporter. And I love that the reporter was like, what is this device? And I love that Nan is holding the TV. It's like, yeah, so this will communicate through all of planet Houston. You mean Earth, sir? Yes, planet Earth. And I was like, and they're like, now you see. So I was like, what happened to this? What happened to every part of Earth? I need to go to the leader of this planet. I love that in both versions. This is one of my favorite scenes of the movie. Because like, so you have stars. You're a general just like me. Who do you answer to? I only answer to the person. You will answer to me!
No, and then he goes, and he will answer to me.
To me, yeah. And he will answer to me.
As much as we like to crap on Zod's delivery, he's actually a pretty awesome bad guy.
It's menacing. It's pretty it's menacing.
Because you have the feeling like, I mean, you know, he really is indestructible.
It's a theater performance. I mean, like, Terrence Stamp is a theater actor. And it's like,
yeah, it's very theatrical.
Yes.
But that's part of its charm. That's why it's so entertaining. That's why people will go kneel before Zod.
Mm-hmm.
And he also talks in the third person sometimes. Yeah. Also, there's a big difference, or there's a small difference of when the three of them are flying to the White House.
Mm-hmm.
In the Donner Cut, they destroy the Washington Monument by literally just cutting it in half, and you can see the miniatures. And then in the theatrical cut,
they do the Mars attack thing.
They do the Mars attacks thing where they change Mount Rushmore's face. The dialogue is still the same. Yeah. Thousands of hours of carving or of building, and it's destroyed in minutes as the president is watching.
I love that because I was like, God damn it. I love that Mars attack moment so much. God, one day we're gonna do Mars attack. And also a little joke that we skip. I know when Ursa sees a snake, I was like, what an interesting creature. Gets bitten. I was like, oh, she, I love that Ursa doesn't say anything, but just with the look, she's like, bitch. She fucking.
I feel like also that snake wouldn't penetrate her skin since she is Kryptonian.
That's a plot hole, though. That is true. Ooh.
Well, I mean, they didn't really take into account comic lore or anything like that. So for all we know, that could happen. But there's also, oh yeah, the attack on the town. It is cool to show, but it slows the movie down.
Yes.
Sometimes it's you like don't five, need to show minutes, everything. It's sort of like the extended TV cut where it goes on for too long. Also, the Donner Cut is slightly shorter, but I feel like it's like a tighter movie. When you really get down to it, it's very simple. It's just Superman has to defeat General Zod and his two minions.
Mm-hmm.
Lex Luthor goes to help. And then there's the whole moral dilemma of, can I be Superman and still have what I want? Or that it shows that he can't have what he wants and still be Superman. You know, it's that responsibility of using his powers for good, but is it worth it to sacrifice your selfish wants, desires, dreams? Like, what does that do to a person? So it actually humanizes him in a way.
I also really like the thing when he's saying this whole dilemma. It's much better in the Donner cut, because I was like, father, I was like, this is the woman that I love. I was like, and then I love when he says, like, Jor-El, Kyle, I sacrificed so much for you. I sacrificed my life for you. And the humans, they like you a lot. They know you have saved them, and this is how you're gonna repay them, by being selfish. And I'm like, and it was like, but yeah, but their feelings are stronger. From the many questions that you asked me, I was prepared, but I was also prepared, even though I didn't want to answer this question. I was like, damn you, Marlon Brando. And I was like, damn it. I do like that. I do like that a lot. And I love that in the difference that in the Donner cut, Lois is looking from afar and she was chilling.
Yeah, that was weird. Oh, yeah. Also, although in both versions, they do have they have sex in a best way to describe it is a tinfoil beanbag looking thing.
A very interesting.
Sort of. We see them go towards the bed in the theatrical cut, which was not needed. Although it does randomly cut in the Donner cut to just them immediately in bed. So at least in the theatrical cut, it showed, oh yeah, after they had dinner and everything. Oh, does that also mean yes?
And he's like, oh, father, I beg you, I love her. And then I was like, you want to be like them, love like them, you have to become one of them. This chamber will have the red sun of Krypton, and you will have nothing. Kal-El. I beg you, could reconsider, father, I love her. And then I love Superman going to the chamber, and I like this little detail that Jor-El's hologram is looking at the pain of Superman losing the power.
Even though that doesn't make sense, because Jor-El has been dead.
I know, because this is a recording, but I like the drama, though.
He's the wizard in The Wizard of Oz. He's the giant head, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. That sort of thing. That's what I was expecting.
That sort of thing.
And I also love the detail, because yes, the red sun, that's something that people don't bring up, because everybody knows Superman's weakness. Kryptonite, right? Yeah. Generally, it's green kryptonite. There are different kinds that do certain things to him. Like red kryptonite makes him an asshole because it takes away his inhibitions. And gold kryptonite could take away his powers permanently.
Ah, I knew about that.
I mean, there's more. It gets really crazy in the Silver Age, but red sun affects him. It nullifies his powers because it's the red sun of Krypton. Also, he's vulnerable to magic, which they never really get into in the movie versions.
But they did explore that in the recent animated show.
Yes, they do. In various shows, he's susceptible to magic. Which is why Black Adam versus Superman, it would be an unfair fight, because Black Adam's powers are imbued with magic. That point, regardless, I also love the detail of the red sun in the chamber. Like, visually, you can see that it's...
We can
hear. And it makes everything, like, this red, and it reminds me of when Krypton was getting destroyed, or Krypton was getting destroyed.
I do like that little detail.
And then he comes out, and now he's human.
And then they go to the diner.
And then they literally drive to a diner. Where did they get the car?
This is one of my questions. Where did they get the car? How far is the Fortress of Solitude from this diner? And this is my other thing. When Luthor goes with Mr. Smacker to the Fortress of Solitude, I'm like, were they in that balloon for like 2 months? And then Miss Desmalker in the theatrical cut, he there for 2 days out by holding my pee. How?
I would like to think that it's in Canada because it's cold. If you go north of Kansas, Canada's right on top. I mean, like, there's a couple of states, but I would like to think...
So you're saying that the diner could be at Tim Hortons?
Because then how the hell... Why would there... It can't be in Antarctica. Because how else would Clark Kent be able to get there? I mean, well, Clark Kent, but how the heck would they... Why would there be people in Antarctica?
New York is close to Canada. So technically, because New York is metropolis.
So you're saying that it's in French Canada then?
Yes.
Gotcha. So they should actually be in, like, Quebec.
Yes, that's where the forces are.
Speaking French, because in French Canada, of course, they do speak French. There, that's their primary language. And it would make sense because, well, I mean, there's the opening in Paris in the theatrical cut, which is a good sequence. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's also, you can tell what was reshot as well, because Margot Kidder looks very different. She sounds different. And generally, there's just like, you can tell. Mm-hmm. It's like when they reshot Justice League.
Oh, yeah.
You can see that this was done at a later date. Anyway, they go to a diner, and cameo from Richard Donner in the Donner cut. He's actually the one of the patrons that's walking out with the cigar.
Cool.
That's Dick Donner. And then they go in, and then there's this a-hole in plaid, in the red plaid, and he's just being a total jerk to the point where...
Because he wants to hit on Lois, and Lois says no.
And then Clark is just like, I think you should step outside, sir. But then the trucker punches him into glass, and I love that Clark is so in shock of getting hurt and everything. He's like, that's my blood. I'm bleeding. Because this is the first time this has ever happened to him.
And then the trucker punches him in the gut. And I love the focus on Christopher Reeve's pain, because it also hurts us as the audience seeing Superman with no powers. And I love that Lois immediately jumps up on him and also going and attacks. That's a very Lois move. I like it a lot. And immediately we see that the guy leaves without paying his bill. And I was like, I cannot believe that I'm feeling this. I was like, yeah, but I love you, says Lois. I was like, you don't have to do that. And then the lady at the diner was like, we're just gonna turn on the TV. And then we see, we have to talk about.
Oh yeah, we totally skipped over.
We skipped the White House scene.
The White House sequence, which it's
a little longer in the Donner cut.
It is a little longer, and there's a little moment in the Donner cut that I love where Zod gets a assault rifle and he ends up killing some people, and he's smiling,
yes,
like enjoying causing pain.
Yes.
Yeah, they crash through the roof of the White House, by the way, and then they go to the Oval Office and are like, okay, who's the president? And there's this dude shaking in there, and he's like, I'm the president. And he went, step forward and kneel. And so he does, and then he goes, you're not the president. For one that leads so many, you surrender too...
You cannot kneel so fast.
You surrender too quickly. Who's the real president? And then, of course, the real president's like, I am.
And I love when Zod stares at the carpet. I was like, you do worship things that fly. So now kneel before Zod. And I was like, damn! I was like,
and then the president is just like, I'm only doing this because it'll save lives. Will it save lives? And Zod just goes, it will. And so he does it. And then he just goes, oh, God. And then Zod.
Yes.
Zod just goes, it's Zod.
But before he says this, I was like, but there's one that could destroy you. Where is he?
Who is this imbecile?
Who is this imbecile? Where is he? I don't know.
It's Superman.
And then that's when it gets revealed on the TV. Now the whole world is going to be in hands of the brain. I mean, Zod. He was like, Superman, please save us. Where the hell are you? You cannot have a day off.
And then I like how Zod just puts him in the chair and he's just like, where are you, Superman? I defy you.
It feels like he grabbed the microphone like WWE style. I defy you. Get over here.
Come and kneel before Zod. Kneel. And then, like, Clark is like, Zod, when did he come there? And then the guy is just like, where were you at?
Oh, the Sam Raimi irony. Like, oh, the irony. He's like, when he didn't have his powers. He had sex. He got punched. And then he's like, oh, you made a bad decision.
Yep.
But also makes me wonder, has all of this happened in like one day when he took out his powers?
I like to think it's a week. Also, the synopsis says that it's in the Arctic. Where is there a diner in the Arctic? It implies that there's life out there. Maybe there is, but not like small town Colorado, USA kind of life. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's weird, man. I'm glad they never shot the infamous Arctic police scene. I think I mentioned it before.
Yeah, that you told me. I don't know if we said it so weird
during the recording, but that's towards the end when they were gonna retcon that Zod gets arrested by Arctic police, after certain scenarios, which we will get into when we get to the fortress.
Arctic police coming to CBS. But also, I do like Ursa seeing all of the generals like, what a backwards planet where the men use ribbons and jewelry. And that was a Donner joke. And then we see, I love this little scene in both cuts when we see Ursa, Nun, and Zod bored at the White House. Like, we already have everything. What do we do?
Lex Luthor comes in. He waves a white handkerchief and is like,
yes.
Just trying his best. He's of course talking about himself, you know, the greatest criminal mind. But then he's also just like, your worshipfulness, and he's knowing to play into Zod's ego. And he goes, I can get you Superman. Or he's like, I can get you the Son of Jor-El. Now in the Donner cut, he knows about Son of Jor-El because of, well, Jor-El. In the theatrical cut, he really doesn't know.
He doesn't know about
like the specifics of Jor-El. He just knows about Zod and them. It's not really established that he's talking to that they're talking to Kal-El. I think it's made more clear in the Donner cut.
It's made more clear, and then he's like, I was like, I can get you Superman, and then I love
because he is the son of Jor-El, and he's like,
the one that hit that imprisoned me. I want revenge, and I love Luthor. I was like, yeah, revenge. And then I was like, but then Luthor was like, yeah, but you have to do something for me. And then I love Terrence Stamp feels like he wanted to roll his eyes. He's like, what do you want? I'm a man of interest. I want beach property. Well, I was like, what do you want? Australia.
With a cigar, doing the Richard Nixon, I am not a crook pose. Gene Hackman is still great. As Lex Luthor, he's very much like the Golden Age, Silver Age Lex, where this guy is still very smart, but he's also very hokey.
And also he tells them all that the Son of Jor-El has the same powers as you guys do.
Yes, and he says, but you are three, he is but one. You outnumber him. So that's the other thing about Lex Luthor. He's very good at getting people to do what he wants. He's great at manipulation. That's really his superpower. Is getting people to do the dirty work. So he never technically has to. He will always have somebody do the work, do the dirty work, so he can keep his hands clean. But if he has to, he'll get his hands dirty.
And also, I do like in the Lester cut, we see that Clark goes back to the fortress and then it's like, Father, please help me. And then it cuts, and then we go immediately to Metropolis. And you don't know in the theatrical cut how the hell he got his powers back.
Although it is a little weird how he gets his powers back in the Donner cut.
Yeah, but I still like it, though. It's better in the Donner cut because in the Lester cut, you never know how it happened. You just say a wizard did it.
You just hear, Father! Oh, no, but then they indicate the green crystal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's meant to tip off that, oh, this will give him his powers back.
I thought that the green crystal was going to regenerate the control panel in the theatrical cut, and that's how he got the other chamber.
It's also in the Donner cut, but then it shows, Jor-El's hologram or whatever is like...
Give him powers?
Yeah, he's like, I gave you life, and I sacrificed everything.
And this is important because...
Allow me to do it one more time. He said, we will not speak again once this is done, because I'm going to use all the power that I have to restore
and
your powers.
This line is in Superman Returns. The father became the son, and the son becomes the father. Because this is...
Which is a full circle moment from the first movie, when he first goes to the fortress.
Mm-hmm.
The way that he yells,
Father! I just...
It's a little over the top, but it's also very raw. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, farewell forever, Kyle. Remember me, my son.
And then it's like...
And then he...
It's like that scene at the ending of Ghost.
There's his whole body, when, and then he touches them.
It turns white. And I was just like, is this the ending of Ghost where Patrick Swayze goes to heaven? Or he's just like, it's beautiful, Kal-El. The other side.
This is not the other Christopher Reeve movie that I'm still... It angers me sometimes.
Somewhere in time.
Because of the fucking quarter. God damn it, that fucking coin.
Hey, both of those endings, though, Somewhere in Time and Ghost, they make me cry. I'm not afraid to say it. Yeah, they make me cry.
That's true.
It's a pretty darn good movie. They're both pretty darn good movies.
Another movie that makes me cry that is about ghosts. I was like, will you dance for me forever? Casper, can I kiss you? Ah!
No. Can I keep you is weird.
Can I keep you? Ah!
And then he turns into Devon Sawa. But yes. We're not here to talk about Casper or ghosts in general. And then Zod and company go in and they start just needlessly wrecking the Daily Planet. And then in the Donner Cut, they think that Jimmy Olsen is the son of Jor-El. There's a line that's done in the theatrical cut that's better, because in the Donner Cut, he says, haven't you ever heard of freedom of the press? And then in the theatrical cut, he said, you care to step outside? It's much more.
It's much more abrasive. Yeah, I do like that.
It's like, hey, you want to fight me? Come out here. And then they just, first they knock out Perry White.
And Lois, I love that Lexus was like, well, she's the one that is going to help us, though, because she, Deo, Bach, have a really interesting relationship that is more than friendship, you know?
No, like, he's basically saying, hey, we hold on to her, and Superman will come to her.
And then Ursa was like, what a pathetic kind of man will be attached to a woman. I was like, say that again, darling, says Lois Lane. And then I love in both versions when Superman arrives, and then I was like, oh, thank God. I mean, get him!
Yeah, there's a little extra when it's he's so talking. Funny.
I love it.
when he's just about to enter the Daily Planet in the theatrical cut, where he's just like, oh, I gotta show these idiots what to do.
Got to open a fucking door.
Yeah, because they just walk through things.
And like Charlie
Sheen. I mean, they're not stupid, though.
They
came
from other galaxies, but they cannot open a door.
Well, that seems to be consistent. But they are aliens. Yes. Also, they just like destroying stuff. Everybody that complains about Man of Steel, really... There's something in the ending where I'm like, really? You aren't going to complain about this?
I was going to bring that up. Because it's the they destroyed most of Metropolis. Yeah.
Yeah, they do destroy a lot of Metropolis. And that's what...
And the same thing that assholes will complain about Man of Steel or putting a lot of brands. We have Marlboro, Coca-Cola, KFC. In this way, in Superman 2, we have a lot of brands.
A lot of Coca-Cola.
Yes.
And then, but it's the thing of, I think it's because it shows, oh yeah, Superman cares.
Mm-hmm.
And Zod knows this and he's like, okay, let's start hurting them.
And then I love that Zod is like blasting all of the cars. And I love in the Lester cut, I do like this joke though, of the couple's like, oh my God, we're getting blown away. And then the KFC lady, you forgot your change. The focus on KFC.
And then when they go down and then they seemingly quote unquote kill Superman. And then
I love the people saying, I was like, they kill him. Let's
and then they're
him.
Forming a mob, but then they just use their super breath. And then in the theatrical cut, they do some visual gags like a man's toupee falling off.
Mm-hmm.
And
there was a guy in the skis.
It's ridiculous. Over the top Looney Tunes sort of style.
I like the miniatures.
Where I'm like that. I was like, it might have been a little far there. Might a little far, Lester, because they still do that a little bit, but they just show the newspaper stand collapsing.
Superman and Zod, they find in a Marlboro van. It's weird that they didn't were smoking one of them, and then Superman grabs Zod and throws them in both cars into the Coca-Cola sign.
Oh yeah, and then he.
I want Superman to drink a Coca-Cola really like in Transformers.
Not that bright if they're trying to take him on one at a time. Wouldn't you just overwhelm them?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. They take turns. I was like, wouldn't it be better just all three of them to attack them at the same
time? It's not as hilarious in the theatrical cut with what he uses to defeat Nan. It's so stupid. And
when he traps him? I do like in the Donner cut that they punch him to the Statue of Liberty. And that's not in the Lester cut. I do like that little difference to Superman.
Yeah, also, why is the Statue of Liberty in Metropolis? It's because it's supposed to be New York, but it's just... We're still calling it Metropolis. Who cares?
And also, after this, I love that Lex Luthor in the Donner cut, he's just chilling. He's just on top of one of the office drawers. It was like he's just chilling, doing all of the fighting. I love that. Jimmy also was like, "What are you still doing here?"
Yeah. Also, they're like, "Oh, he's a coward because he flies off because he realizes Zod is going to hurt the people in Metropolis." So he's like, all right, we'll fight to live another day.
I love some kids. Like, I told you he was a phony.
And then Luther is just like, you guys, you couldn't beat him. And then they're just like, Zod is just like, why do you say these things when you know I'll kill you? And he says, well, that's because, and then he starts to get a little scared. And then he's like, you need me.
I have Superman's address. You need me.
What else do you want, Cuba? So then we go to the final act of going to the Fortress of Solitude in the Donner cut. We see that it's very much on its last leg.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
But then Superman, he attempts to lay a trap to stop Zod. And like when Nan lunges after him, he throws a cellophane S off of his chest.
That's in the Lester cut.
In the Lester cut.
What the hell?
There's the Family Guy joke. The hell was that? Yeah, you didn't expect that, did you? I mean, it was a minor inconvenience. I'm fine, but it's like, where did that come from?
And also,
yeah, stopped you.
I love the Donner cut. In the Donner cut, that doesn't happen. It was like, World 3, we could break you from limb to limb. And Luther, yes, your highness, you can grab a leg and make a wish. I like that joke. I like that joke because that was not in the theatrical cut. I like that
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, so it's... Zod, Ursa, Nan, Lois, Lex, and
Superman.
Superman.
And I was like, it's over, your grace. Don't believe him. And then I love that Zod was like, I feel the presence of Jor-El. I was like, you came for me when Luthor was like to Zod, you came for me for when nothing, I gave you Superman. And this is when Luthor was like, what the hell is going to happen to me? And then I was like, Superman was like, Luthor. Convince him to go to the chamber.
No. It's he's like, because Superman's very much like, oh, this guy, and he's giving him very dirty look. And then Luther is just like, I don't know how to deal with these people, because he knows he's overplayed his hand, really. He's overplayed his importance. And then he's like, at least with you I knew where you stood, so let's just do that. And then he's like, okay, try to get him in this chamber. It'll emit a pulse that will take their powers away. And then Luther immediately is just like, oh, he's trying to trap you, General. You go into that pod, it's a trap. And then he's like, Luther, you snake. Which is funny because there was a snake earlier.
Yes. And then it was like, well, you go in over now, we'll kill Lois. No, Superman, don't do it. And then Superman.
Wee-wee.
Technically, wee-wee. And then Superman gets in. And then it was like, no, finally.
Oh, yeah, but did you notice that it was red only on the outside?
Yeah, that's it. Forgot to say that.
I don't know if that's just in the theatrical cut.
It's in both versions.
Yeah, but that right there is a visual cue for what's about to happen.
And then there was like, kneel before Zod. And then Superman kneels in both cuts. I love how the focus on Lois crying. While he's doing this,
take my hand.
Hand. He crushes it and then turns him like. I look how he grabs him like an L shape, like Tetris.
Yep, and then he throws him against the wall, and then they fall into the pit like in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I was gonna say, is this pit like, is there kind of like shards with lasers like in Austin Powers?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter because it turns out they don't have powers anymore. Yes. Then Nan tries to fly, he trips, whoa!
Like an idiot. And then Lois punches Ursa, and she deserves it.
Yeah, she's just like, I don't like your neck. Punch. It was a weird line, but okay. And then Luther was just like, oh, so you made them think that you got rid of your powers, but in actuality, you switched it out. And then we get the famous gif of Superman going like, bingo. Mm-hmm.
But also,
and then he's just like, I knew I couldn't trust you, Luther. I knew you would flip on me.
But
and then he's just like, but what do you mean? I was on your side the whole time.
I know that I owe you one.
But also, remember how we just got them? And then he's just like, you overplayed your hand, Luther.
Yeah.
He's just like, no.
No.
No, Luther.
And this is my... I have a question right here, too. In both cases, though. Why didn't Luther or Lois get hurt because of the ray?
They're already human. It only affects Krypton.
They're already human, but wouldn't it have caused like a chemical effect?
We don't know that. Maybe. But, I mean, a red sun is basically like, what is that to us?
That's the thing that I wonder.
You know, a yellow sun, it affects us. That would basically cook us alive. But for Kryptonians, it gives them power.
Okay. I will slip that out. I will let it slide. But then we get into the biggest difference in both cuts, the ending.
Yeah, gotta say.
So,
I kind of like the smaller ending of the Lester cut.
The Lester cut?
Oh yeah, also they leave Luther in the Fortress of Solitude in the Lester cut.
Because this is my question. In the Lester cut, it also happens in the Donner cut too. They let him at the Fortress of Solitude, but in the Donner cut, Superman destroys the Fortress of Solitude. So did he technically kill Zod?
Well, technically...
Did he kill Lex?
Maybe.
But and then this is my problem with the ending of the Donner cut, because I like that technically Superman is accepting his mistake, and he destroys the Fortress of Solitude. Now he's completely alone because his father already said so. But I don't like that in the Donner cut he pulls the same ending as the first movie. He goes back in time to technically make the second movie that wouldn't exist.
Yeah, and there's you know, he takes Lois back to her apartment, which is conveniently at night now, and it's reminiscent of the first movie. And then they have a talk where she's just like, I'm not going to remember anything, are you? Because I guess she figured out, oh, he did something to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, or she's crying because she knows their dynamic's never going to be the same. Because now she knows that Clark is Superman. Mm-hmm. And she's got that,
I do like that
conflicted feeling of, do I tell the world the secret? Because I'm a reporter, I'm obligated to do this. It's the news. This is like the biggest story in the world. In the Donner cut, anyway. And then he reverses time once again. And I do like how we see it from Earth's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
How we see everything go back. Also, the fact that Perry White brushes his teeth while smoking a cigar. It's very counterintuitive.
Yes.
But then in the Lester cut, they have that emotional scene next day in work.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clark gives her a very awesome kiss. And then it erases her memories.
A very beautiful kiss. But I also, I'm like, And because I love it, it's like, I understand. It says, Lois, I was crying all night. It's like getting married to a doctor, a selfish to you. I'm jealous of the whole world, Clark. Don't tell me to meet somebody. You're a tough act to follow.
Margot Kidder in both scenes. Phenomenal.
Very beautiful. I was like, you don't have to worry about me. I like to worry. I just don't even want to call you. Just say you love me and kisses her. And I love that Lois faints. You hear something in the cue in the music. And then technically erases her mind because of a kiss. So in the theatrical cut, even though I don't like both decisions, but it makes more sense in this one because it makes that the second movie still played out.
Yeah, and also, John Williams reuses a lot of his themes in the Donner cut. He does get some new music. In the theatrical cut, they used some of Williams' music and then replaced him with Ken Thorne. I mean, that's also kind of a downgrade because, I mean, it's John Williams.
It's John Williams. And then we see that Clark just goes to the diner.
Oh, yeah, but yeah, in the Donner cut also, he destroys the Fortress of Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that. I was like, wow.
I was going to say, I like that too, but because he went back in time, so technically didn't happen.
Yeah, to make it where Zod, Ursa, and Nan are still in the Phantom Zone, effectively bringing them back to life, and then essentially erases Luthor's plot from Superman the movie.
So technically means that none of the two movies happened.
Well, no, it still happened, but it ended at a certain point.
Uh-huh.
It ended probably before Lex Luthor used the dog whistle thingy to call for Superman.
I don't like this.
Essentially, it restores it to, everything's normal, and he's still...
So technically, Superman 1 happened without a third act.
Yeah, and then he just works the following day, and Clark seems to experience some deja vu as well.
Because this is my other question about the Donner cut of going back in time. So technically the second movie didn't happen. Why in the Donner cut he went back to the diner if the second movie didn't happen?
Yeah, it just cuts immediately. It's like, oh. Or she's just like, oh, can I get something? Or like Lois is... trying, she's like, I think I remember something. It's the story of a lifetime, but I just can't remember what it is. You know, that it's the Spider-Man. I can't believe I'm saying this, but it's the Spider-Man No Way Home thing.
Oh my God.
Where do you think they got it from? They got it from Superman 2, the Richard Donner cut.
Oh my God. Yes, you're
because,
right.
Like, I do like Christopher Reeve acting. Like when he thinks that Lois still might know, but then she's just like, nah, you're the best friend, Clark. Damn it, I'm in the friend zone again. But, you know, he's like, oh, I'll pay for, I think she wants a pizza. Uh-huh. And in the theatrical cut, he's like, it's 9 a.m, Lois. But
and in the Lester cut, it's about the orange juice and the burger.
Yeah, and then in the Lester cut, it ends with him... going to the White House with the American flag.
And he says, I will not do this again. Technically saying, I will not take a day off again, President. This is not going to
happen. Yeah,
he's
just like, I screwed up. I won't do it again. And then in the Donner cut, he goes back to the diner and...
Well, technically, that's the thing. The diner happened
cut. Yeah. Clark kisses the Lois, uses the memory erase kiss, and then he returns to the diner and gets revenge on the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really kicks the crap out of him too.
And that's what I'm saying. In the Lester cut, the diner scene makes sense, him getting revenge on the bully, but in the Donner cut, doesn't make any
sense.
And
then it ends with him like, oh, I'll never abandon my duty again, carries the American flag and all that. And then in the Donner cut, it's just, oh yeah, I order a pizza and stuff. And then he like looks up and he's sort of... Reeve gives this look like, man, I can't believe I'm sacrificing me really being happy. I mean, he still enjoys what he's doing, but it's that responsibility of, he's like, I'm knowingly taking the weight of the world on my shoulders because it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Because he's Jesus.
And that's always something that Superman should have. That's that conflict.
Mm-hmm.
That internal conflict. And he even has that Batman vs Superman where he's just like, is it worth it to take on the weight of the world to do the right thing?
Mm-hmm.
If it's sacrificing myself, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And for Superman, yeah, it is. And in both instances, he does sacrifice himself. In Batman vs Superman, he literally sacrifices his life. And then in this movie, he sacrifices his happiness for the betterment of the world. Shows really the true cost of being a hero. And then, but yeah, in the Donner cut, once he gives that look, it's just cuts to the diner and then he immediately eats the bully. And then it just ends. And then they both end with the recycled footage of him flying up into space, shooting off in the camera and smiling, which we did not mention that in the last episode.
Yes, that became a staple. But also, I do not like the diner scene at the end of the Donner cut because... if you did that thing of the time travel, so that means that the original diner scene didn't happen. So technically, you was just kick a man's ass.
Yes. And, I mean, he was still a dick. But he just wasn't a dick to him.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe, I don't know. It was...
it's a Doctor Who paradox.
It is. It's a lot. Time travel is a very tricky thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, yeah. pretty darn good movies. Even the theatrical cut, yes, we feel like we've been shitting on it and saying, mm-hmm. oh, Donner Cut's better in this respect, this respect. The Donner Cut is just a tighter, just better movie.
Better pace.
Mm-hmm. Better paced. It's shorter. It's straight to the point. And it does, for me personally, I think it does more stuff better.
Mm-hmm.
But the theatrical cut is not a bad movie.
No, it's not.
And again, you could argue that this is better than the first movie because it delves into, like, okay, what is the true cost of doing what is right? And it's showing it through actions.
And I'm going to give an extra point to the theatrical cut. I like the ending better there.
Yes, I also like the ending more. You're like, okay, the memory erase kiss, that also causes plot holes because that's just like turning the world back
mm-hmm.
or spinning the world around
but so he can
go back in time. Why doesn't he just use that all the time?
But at least
you don't care.
In Superman 2, the memory wipe thing, even though it causes plot holes, but still the movie happened. But in Superman 2, the Donner Cut, technically the movie didn't happen. That's my problem with the Donner ending.
Yeah, but it's still pretty good.
And also it makes me wonder, I was like, what was the original ending in the screenplay? That's the other thing that I wonder, though.
So yeah, after Zod gets his powers taken away and stuff, it was going to show that he was going to get arrested by the authorities and put in jail by the Arctic police. Thank God we never got that.
So maybe that was in the original screenplay.
So I think we can make one final cut, like Blade Runner, where we take the best parts of both movies.
Yes.
And then put them in like a super cut. And appropriately, a super cut.
Hasta the Rodriguez cut.
But this has also been interesting, talking about two movies at the same time.
Yeah, we have never done it.
But you kind of have to.
We have to.
Because one can't exist without the other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just, it's one of the first instances of a director's cut. When you really get down to it. Or like, everybody talked about the Snyder cut and that campaign. This was the original superhero film that got their director's cut due.
This was with letters.
Literally, people were writing letters daily, sending them to Warner Brothers, asking for this for years until they were like, oh, you know what? Let's ask Richard Donner. You want to do this? Great. And then they did it, and then they got a Blu-ray release. Everybody was happy, and it was dedicated to Christopher Reeve's memory because he had died or passed away 2 years prior to this. And I love that the Donner cut opens it says this picture is dedicated in loving memory to Christopher Reeve, without whom we would never have believed that a man could fly.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
That's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this movie 9.5.
Nice.
For the Donner cut, 9 for the theatrical cut, just slightly smaller, but these are both really, really solid films.
Ooh.
And a great, I think the Donner cut is a much better follow-up to the first movie. Canon-wise, you could say those two, but the theatrical cut is not a bad cut.
I'm gonna go different, though. 8.5 for the Donner cut. And I'm going to give the theatrical cut a 9 because of my problem with the ending.
You know what? That's fair. This has been fun.
This was fun. I'm like, I like both cuts, though. And this was very fun for me also to see, though.
And some behind the scenes, we finally, or for the most part, have broken a curse. Because whenever we've talked about Superman solo stuff, we've had technical problems.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So maybe third time's the charm. Who knows?
We'll see what happens when the next
one. We don't know. The curse could rear its ugly head back next week when we talk about the infamously bad Superman movies.
Yes.
Starting with Superman 3, the one with one of the most famous comedians of all time, Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
Very controversial comedian, but very funny.
And then one of the worst movies ever made.
Considered Superman one of the worst superhero films of all time, Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Yes.
And then when we end the month, we'll end it with Superman Returns.
Yay, but at the same time, no, it got so controversial. God damn it.
I don't know. I haven't seen that movie. I mean, controversially, or I've never seen Superman 3 and 4 because of I've heard how bad they are. So it's going to be great first time watching.
I only have seen parts of them when I was a kid, so I had never seen them also fully either.
So it's going to be interesting watching these for the first time. I want to see how bad they are.
And I haven't seen Superman Returns. The last time I saw it was like 10 years ago when I got the Blu-ray.
I was 10 when I saw it. I haven't seen it since I was 10.
Damn.
So this is going to be an interesting rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have Superman Returns on Blu-ray, and I would end up just rewatching Batman Begins and The Dark Knight over and over again. So yeah, because I was more into Batman at that time. I'm still into Batman.
Well, so you were younger. I got to see Superman Returns in theaters.
I got to see Batman Begins in theaters because I was more of a Batman guy. I didn't really ask to see Superman Returns in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So Man of Steel was
your first Superman, yeah.
In theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't the first superhero movie. That honor still goes to the movie we saw last week.
Yes.
But yeah, it's just gonna be an interesting month. God, I love that it's my birthday month.
Yay! Yes.
But until then, where can the good people find you, buddy?
As always, you can find me at RoverRDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd at RoverRDC. Please follow the podcast on SYN Spot on Twitter. Give us an interview on Apple, Spotify, and the other ones. And you, Billy?
Yes, you can follow me on Letterboxd and Twitter at MasterofPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow me on Instagram at BillyBatsonsLightning. Nothing is capitalized. Once again, you can follow the main show at SYNSPod on Twitter, as well as give us a 5-star and just write a review on Apple Podcasts, as well as Google, Spotify, SoundCloud, Spotify for Podcasters, wherever podcasts can be listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun.